Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. This is the 2021 Superflex Rookie Board edition of the Analytics of Dynasty Draft Podcast. So this is basically it. So with the board, I will say this is a 1.0 version. I don't expect major changes. In fact, I feel fairly confident in where I have people. I have done some color coding. I might continue to do that. I want to leave it kind of sparingly just because it's meant to convey some certain stuff. I will say the formatting of it's a little bit janky at times in terms of I needed to try and fit it on the page on the site, and that was very difficult to do with how wide and how much content I tried to actually include in it. So I wanted you to be able to have data, and I wanted you to be able to sort of have that on your fingertips and some notes in there. So it does seem a little bit wide. It does seem a little like lengthy, long in terms of how it's there. That's kind of the reason why. So I will include some additional players, UDFA types, as they sort of come out here. I'm recording this in the afternoon on Saturday, I guess early evening on Saturday. So that will take probably some time to trickle in. I'll probably do like a late night edition or a late night editing session of it, and then have some additional stuff here as the week goes along. So I wrote a little bit of intro to it, which might be the most written content I've done for the site. And so I'll sort of walk through some of my rationale on some of these things. I think the top of the board's pretty easy. I didn't put them in another tier just because I guess I could have and made Trevor Lawrence's own tier. I would take him at 101. I do think that I think he's the best player in the draft. And I think that he is in Dynasty rookie drafts. And we could sort of quibble with some of the other guys. And, you know, Zach Wilson, there's some issues there. I think he's a good player, but does he have the fantasy upside? Does he have the floor? Those are all things that I have concerns with in terms of him specifically. Fields, he dropped a little bit. You know, what is that all about? I'm not sure, but that leaves a question mark. I think he's the best player in the draft. If they had gone 1-2, I would feel confident and comfortable taking Fields over him and stacking him there. However, given the drop in draft pedigree, I just don't think he can feel confident in doing that. And the same thing with Trey Lance. I mean, I think if you were to sort of take what's the best case scenario? I think you can make an argument that Fields and Lance have it over Lawrence in terms of the ultimate ceiling. But I just think in terms of it's tough to argue with Lance and Lawrence. You just know so much more about Lawrence. So in Superflex, you want to be risk averse to a degree, and that's I think a big part of it. So he would be the guy there. You have to go him over running backs. It's just a pretty big gap in terms of startup valuation as well. I think that's the clear play. If you want to go down to, get a couple of guys in tier one and two in a trade down, I think that could be something you could talk about. I think if you went and if you could get, multiple other shots and, get two shots basically in the top two tiers and maybe another additional asset, whether that's maybe a future first, depending on how far down you go, second to first upgrade, something like that, build in some additional ceiling exposure. That would be, I think, something that I'd feel comfortable doing, all told. So that's the big headline there. I think the other headline is I have, in that same tier, again, it's Lawrence first. I could put another tier in there about him being in there by himself. I just didn't, just because it didn't need to be more cumbersome than it was, I didn't think. So ultimately that's really the overall thing. The next headline, I guess, would be Harris, Etienne, and Pitts in the top tier with him. I think if it was me, I'd go probably Harris, and then I'd debate real hard about Travis Etienne and Pitts if it was tight end premium. You know, I would note that, like, if you look at some of the base rate stuff, which I incorporated on here, they have a very similar hit rate for a base rate, but it's much more likely that you're going to get multiple top 12 seasonal finishes out of a guy like Etienne. That's 45% to Pitts at 29%. So just with their comps, I know we have to sort of move Pitts up because we're going to adjust from the base rate and we're going to adjust up. I totally understand that. But I just think it's a far way to go. I think it's a reasonable debate. If it's tight end premium, I'm probably going Pitts over Etienne. It's worth noting, I don't necessarily think you need to go in this order. I do not think that Etienne is going to be the fourth player off the board in many, if any, drafts. I do think you're going to get multiple quarterbacks in that range. So it's going to be a situation with Etienne where you're sitting 5, 6, 7, 8. I think he's absolutely going to be in play there. I could see a scenario. You could paint me a scenario. I don't know if it's. You could paint me a scenario where Javonte Williams goes over Etienne. I'm not sure you could actually do that for Trey Sermon. Although, you could. I think you could see it, but I think it's a much, much less likely argument that you see Sermon over Etienne. But I could see someone postulating it and making it. So that's really my overall big board takeaway there. I think Etienne's going to end up being a target player somewhere in the 5 through 8 range, someplace in there. That would probably be my take on him. Okay. Turning next to the next tier. So in that next tier, I have Lance, Fields, Wilson at the quarterback position. I have Lance and Fields in green there above Wilson in that tier. I have more confidence in those guys than I do in Wilson. Javonte Williams is also in that tier. So is Ja'Marr Chase. Common debate that I always have is you debate a running back from a round below the wide receiver. I think Chase versus Javonte Williams, like, you could entertain me with that conversation. Ultimately, I think Ja'Marr Chase is special, so I would take him over Javonte Williams. But I think that they are close enough. And when you look at the base rate stuff, Javonte Williams over Ja'Marr Chase. When you sort of adjust for Ja'Marr Chase's breakout age, he's much higher. He's up at like 68%. So where Javonte Williams is at 58% for his breakout. For his base rate, they have very similar multiple top 12 seasonal finish base rates. So that's really the thing with there. I mean, you could, and I have done the second round running back over the first round wide receiver. Yeah, I've done the theory about you can, if you were to just take wide receivers out of the first round of rookie drafts, the hit rate goes up. I think that is why I have Javonte Williams ahead of any other wide receiver than Chase, because a lot of that stuff holds true. And again, I think there's rules that I like to sort of put in place about drafting and about trying to put together a board, trying to put together a successful team that just is very much, you know, it's very, to me, it's very, let's follow some rules. We know what the rules are. We know what the profiles are. Let's follow them. We can make exceptions. You know, you could argue that, hey, you shouldn't have Fields up there with Lance because he's not a top 10 guy. Like, top 10 is a little bit of a colloquial thing. It's kind of a term that I use to describe, you know, the elite quarterbacks. Is it 10? Is it 11? Is it 12? You know, could we go to 14? Yada, yada. You know, Watson, I guess you could use it as the Watson line, sort of like the Mendoza line for a quarterback, somewhere in that above where the Watson line was, 12 or 13, wherever he went to Houston, I guess you could use, right? I think Fields at 11 in a class where there's four guys in the top 11, it's fine to put him in the other tier. There's no significant statistical drop from 10 to 11, I guess is the point. But technically I'm making an exception. I just do not like to make a lot of exceptions. And you start making exceptions and then all of a sudden making exceptions becomes the rule. And that's, I think, really bad process. So we have to sort of keep that in mind. So like I said, I think Chase versus Javonte Williams is a debate that we could have. I am going to go Chase over Javonte Williams. I think if you're sitting in a spot where Javonte Williams is like 8 or 9 on a rookie board, I think you're doing pretty good. You know, so that's really my take. Again, I think the Wilson Javonte Williams debate, something that we could have. I mean, in theory, I guess I could have put, you know, if I sort of had to pick within this tier, it'd be Lance and Fields, and then probably Chase, and then Williams, I think, and then Wilson would sort of be how I would do that tier. I could sort of, and I think that there's reasonable debates that you could have in there. That's why I have them together. I would probably have Wilson as my avoid guy of that tier. But he's clearly above the other guys in the next tier. So that's why I have him there. All right, turning to tier three, that's Mac Jones, Trey Sermon, Rashad Bateman, Devonta Smith, and Jalen Waddle. You know, I have in green, I have Mac Jones, Trey Sermon, and Rashad Bateman. I think that they reflect a target range for me. That is basically 110 through 112. I don't necessarily think you're going to need to get to 112 to take Trey Sermon, but I'm going to get there. I think he is a target player. Someone brought this up in the group me chat, which is a really good one. This is basically Royce Freeman versus DJ Moore from years past. They have a very similar top 12 seasonal hit rate. When you adjust for the breakout age for Bateman, it goes up to, you know, he's about a 68% is his comp set. The only problem with that is I take a negative view of the volume and of the quarterback play in Baltimore. Ultimately, I just don't know how much ceiling it is. Is DJ Moore an absolute best case scenario for Rashad Bateman? That's pretty good. Don't get me wrong. But I question how uber elite that he can be. And we have talked some about how that can be a little bit replaceable. Ultimately, I think it's not going to matter because Bateman's going to go ahead of Sermon by a few picks. I think that once Bateman goes off the board, I think this tier is Mac Jones, Bateman, Sermon, right? That's the steps I'm going to make. And I'm probably not trading up in the tier to do it because I feel comfortable with all three. But I do think that they are close. The next tier is a little bit of, you know, in that same tier is also Jalen Waddle and Devonta Smith. They operate as kind of like a mini tier for me. I think they're a tier of themselves in that range. I don't have a strong opinion on either one in terms of, you know, who to go ahead of the other. They're both top 10 receivers. They both have questionable profiles. Waddle hasn't broken out, so I think that's a little problematic. I'd probably go Smith over Waddle, gun to my head. But I don't think... I do think they're in that tier, in that group. They're behind, you know, they're behind Mac Jones, Sermon, and Bateman. Going to the next tier, which is tier four, you got basically four wide receivers in this tier: Elijah Moore, Rondale Moore, Terrace Marshall, and Kadarius Toney. I think the big news here is Terrace Marshall, the injury drop, you know, is the injury concerns a reason for his fall. He ends up reuniting with LSU offensive coordinator Joe Brady in Carolina. This is looks like a block scenario, but I will say Robbie Anderson is a free agent next year, so we'll sort of see what that is. This could be a scenario where ultimately he ends up with a much better quarterback situation too, and I'm not necessarily sure that's if that's Sam Darnold, but in 2022 we could see a you know, that's a time that you could see Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers. They've made no secret about them being a potential quarterback landing spot for one of these big kind of depressed, you know, one of these disgruntled veteran types. So I would go in this range. I'd go Elijah Moore, Rondale Moore, Terrace Marshall, and Kadarius Toney. I do think there's going to be a point like late second where Kadarius Toney is going to end up being, you just collect the target pedigree. You just collect the pedigree. Pat Freiermuth is in this range as well. I'd probably go Toney over Freiermuth. And I would suspect that's how they go in rookie drafts. You know, Freiermuth's kind of on that Cole Kmet. You just sort of collect falling pedigree type of spectrum there. Late second, early third. And so, all right, going to the fifth tier, you got Chuba Hubbard, Michael Carter, Kenneth Gainwell, all injury away types. I think they're clear target guys in this range over De'Ami Brown, Amari Rodgers, Tommy Tremble, Hunter Long are all in that range too. In fact, you know, I guess you could even make the argument, you know, I do have, as I sort of say that, I do have De'Ami Brown and Amari Rodgers sort of down a tier, but those are basically the next guy sort of on the board in that range. And then I can see, you know, Tommy Tremble and Hunter Long are basically day two tight ends that are kind of falling. You know, that's sort of where you collect there. I think both of them have some concerns. Hunter Long was very, very productive. This would be one thing that I would say, although I think it was not quite as impressive when you sort of turned on the tape, but he was very productive. And so I sort of like him in that range. Tremble's a little bit undersized, might be more of an H-back. He kind of fits as the he kind of fits like Josiah DeGara did in prior years. So does Trey McKitty, who's actually down in the next tier, just click falling pedigree. The next tier, which is tier six, is quarterbacks. So that's Kyle Trask, Kellen Mond, Davis Mills. Ramondre Moore Stevenson's in this range. Kenny Ngakoue. I think Kenny Ngakoue is more of like a return specialist type, but I could definitely see, you know, him being, I think he was pretty interesting as a running back type, but not totally productive, but he definitely offers something on team. So that would be, you know, that's something to watch and monitor there. They do have a strong running game, so the fact that he could come in and potentially offer some juice to them, and not entirely surprising. But I think that's more of a special teams guy than a direct threat to, like a direct threat to Alexander Mattison or something like that. Some other guys down the seventh round, just some, I think, some avoid types that I think are bear mentioning. Tylan Wallace, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Nico Collins are down in that range. Nico Collins just didn't really impress me. I wasn't a huge fan of his, those wide receivers. I wasn't a huge fan of Tylan Wallace's either, nor Amon-Ra St. Brown. So the fact that all of them kind of fell, although Nico Collins did get some third round pedigree, which I'm going to probably just not be on him, would sort of be my thought. Let other people potentially take, oh, he's got an open situation. Ian Book's down in this range. Eli Mitchell, he was at Louisiana, I believe. And then you get some more developmental tight ends. And then it's really I have Tutu Atwell, Anthony Schwartz down here, way down at the bottom as well. I just, Dwayne Eskridge, I'm just not, I just struggle with their profiles. And I think that they're avoid guys, even though they do have some of that pedigree there. So that's really how the board lies and settles right now. I will add more sort of as they become, you know, as UDFA situation sort of clarify, and I'll be doing some pod stuff when we get more data on market stuff, and when we get more data on, you know, I'll start to have some drafts here. I got to put together my own personal like rookie tracker for my teams and whatnot here going forward. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Again, I hope you all enjoyed the draft. I'll have some more stuff on UDFAs, but these are lower level types that we're really taking at this point. And until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.